Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
All right. Welcome, seekers, to podcast number 75 of God Beyond the Bible. We are a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. As always, thank you guys for connecting with us, for allowing us to be just one of the many tools that you utilize as each of us attempt to sort out our own spirituality and navigate this tour of duty that we call life. Trayson, what are our shout outs for this week?
Our shout outs this week are to, I'm not sure, I think it was Anna is the way it was pronounced. If it's Anna, I'm really sorry, but the H threw me off. And then Guilherme, we're glad to have you guys listening.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And I guess I have the quote of the week, and it is Lauren Oliver. And the quote is, maybe you can afford to wait. Maybe for you, there is a tomorrow. Maybe for you, there's 1,000 tomorrows, or 3,000, or 10, or so much time that you can roll around in it. Let it slide like coins through your fingers. So much time that you can waste it. But for some of us, there is only today. And the truth is, you never really know.
I like that.
I do too. It makes me want to read one of her books. Okay. So last week, we presented our theory on breadcrumbs. We think that when you more or less look past the narrative in the Bible that reflects the author's perception of what God is doing and see the long-term end result of an event, that it isn't hard to see that God is consistently leading us to a better place, collectively as humanity and in our individual interests and pursuits.
All right, so let's dive in. In this episode, we'd like to talk about an experience that has been given the title of spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening might be defined as a point in a person's life that they are willing to consider that they may not have all the answers when it comes to knowing the unseen force that we call God. And they're willing to peer outside the confines of accepted religious tradition to satisfy an unexplainable yearning.
Now, if you were to research the topic online, as I did, asking the question, how to know if I'm experiencing a spiritual awakening, the responses are practically endless. Most, if not all, have some great advice. Our experience, however, has been that many people who have made great strides in their spiritual pursuits since their awakening have moved so far past that initial experience of the spiritual awakening that they have difficulty relating to those who may be at the earliest stages of their awakening. It becomes very difficult to navigate the early stages of our own experience because these folks are tossing around all kinds of lingo and jargon that's foreign to us.
Yeah. But today we're going to limit our discussion to that in which we here at God Beyond the Bible are familiar, and that is those of us who've been influenced by the Christian religion and the signs and events that led to our own awakening. And let us state here that not all spiritual awakenings lead to us sitting in a circle, burning incense, cross-legged on the floor in a robe, listening to a bearded guy tell us how to get in touch with our spirit guide.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
I'm probably the only one in this room that would end up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, while there's nothing wrong with that, it's just in our own experience, we found that a person can pursue spiritual enlightenment in many other ways as well.
Okay, guys, so what might be the signs that I'm on the cusp of a spiritual awakening? More specifically, for those of us in Christian circles.
Well, there is possibly, and these are just some things we're throwing out there, a feeling that there is more. Now, I've always been like that my whole walk. I thought, I've not got the whole story here. There's got to be some more to this, even after years of teaching and pastoring. You know, not being satisfied with the answers to life's perplexing questions, a feeling that some important pieces to the puzzle just might be missing.
Yeah, or it could start with a faith crisis. Many people's spiritual awakenings begin with what others might perceive as a faith crisis, and, you know, we might even mistake it that way ourselves. By faith crisis, we simply mean that you may find yourself asking why. Why do I believe this way? Do I know God for myself personally? Or is my relationship based on traditions and organizations and people who tell me what I need to do to please God? Perhaps it occurs when things don't happen the way we prayed for them to. A loved one suffered and died in spite of my doing all of the things that I was told to do to win God's favor and blessing.
And I think this may come a point of spiritual awakening for a lot of people when they, the things we're told work don't work for us.
Yeah.
The things that we're told, if you'll do this, it works, and it just doesn't work for us. And I think sometimes that brings us to a spiritual awakening.
I found a good way to tell if you're in a faith crisis is if you ask someone a question and the answer is some form of, well, we all doubt occasionally, but you need to push that doubt out of the way. You are probably beginning your spiritual awakening.
I used to say that, but now I say pursue the doubt. Pursue the question. Just pursue it and see where it goes. I mean, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
Well, I could lose my hope. Well, if your faith is, it's not going to shatter your faith. It's not going to end that way.
So some may start to see the inconsistencies and hypocrisy in what they're hearing taught and the way those who proclaim to believe it live their own lives. It can be shocking how some can check their spiritual principles at the door in things like a business meeting or discussion over finance and other organizational decisions.
And it's not just in the organization. People, we have a tendency to be able to do that. Just, you know, we come into a gathering of some kind and we just, you know, we're just not the person that we look like we are in that church setting.
And I will say this hesitantly, but even locally, we have seen political meetings where you're sitting there going, isn't that person a pastor? Or isn't that person, in the church? And they're talking this being recorded.
Angry and hateful and all of that. I think, Trayson, you may be D. Nope, no, it may be me. Well, it may be an internal sense of being unfulfilled when it comes to our own personal spirituality. And I think a lot of people, but there's where the people tell you, we just push that away, just fight that down. We may have spent years in the organized church seeking fulfillment. Many folks get actively involved in programs and missions, believing it'll fill the void. Some take on positions and offices in the church, even surrender into the ministry, thinking this will satisfy the spiritual longings, only to discover the void is still there, and sometimes the void's gotten larger.
And, you know, you may experience more than just one. I mean, I've been through all four of these so far, Another way that you might experience it is sometimes we experience something that completely changes our perspective on life and spirituality. You know, many folks who have a near-death experience return with a sense of the awakening of their spirituality that wasn't in play prior to that experience.
Yeah. I'm always surprised at how many people that have the near-death experience, they meet God, see loved ones, meet Jesus, meet whoever it is. You know, some say that it's just a light and the light's warm and all, but, you know, I'm always amazed at the people that just really had no kind of real faith at all before that.
And now they go, even if nothing more than there is something good coming, guys.
Yeah, that's it.
So after years of pursuit, some people are introduced to the truth from a book, a speaker, a podcast, a YouTube video, or something of that like that resonates with what they've always believed to be true, but it wasn't in line with the denomination or perhaps any mainstream doctrinal position in the Christian religion today.
I have a lot of people tell me, and I've had them to say to me, different people, that they already knew everything I was saying. Somehow deep down, they always thought that ought to be true.
Sure.
But they've always been told it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it fits so well. And of course, then the argument from the other side, from the Christian, well, that's just the world. You're letting I don't want to go down that road. We may come to the realization that the way that we've been conditioned to do church just simply isn't working for us anymore. We may have encountered a culture of people who aren't comfortable to seriously consider anything or anyone who doesn't agree with how they do things.
Oh, goodness.
We don't have to talk about that, I'm sure.
Sometimes we discover that the things we're doing are so deeply rooted in tradition that to suggest change is to be considered a heretic.
So, do you guys know any other signals or signs that might be associated with a spiritual awakening?
I mean, I think any, like I said, if you're like me, you're going to experience the gamut at some point.
That's what I was sitting there thinking. I'm like, well, I've already experienced that. Sometimes go back through that loop several times of I'm in this position
and
I've
been the one who's experienced it and shoved it down and think that way.
Well, always that we have that urge to fall back into the tradition early on.
It's easier,
but eventually you get and you look back and you say, I'm not going back there.
I can't go back there.
Yes. You can't unknow what you know. You can't unsee what you've seen. That's just the way life is, and when you evolve beyond that, and we'll be talking about that, but we're not putting down people that are moving in the traditional Christian circles and doing those things.
No.
Everyone's spiritual way. It's not spiritual awakenings don't come collectively,
but it's kind of like when
they come individually.
Mm-hmm. When you've worn a pair of sunglasses, dark sunglasses, all day long, and you take them off, and then you're like, oh. It's still really bright outside, even though, you know, I feel that's kind of how it was coming out of all of this. You reach this point where you go, I can't put the sunglasses back on.
Yeah, I can't do that. So with that thought, allow us a brief pause and we'll regroup and return with part two.
Okay, so our topic today is spiritual awakening. This concept may be summed up as simply as a person who's not experiencing spiritual fulfillment where they are and has a feeling that there's more. In Christian circles, this is commonly associated with a growing disenchantment with the organized church and its leaders. Maybe you've even been told that if you'll just get more involved in the mission and pray and read your Bible more, that this feeling will go away, but it doesn't. Mainly because this approach implies that there's something wrong with you. You're not doing it right.
That's it, yeah.
You're losing your faith. You're falling away. Yeah. You need to try harder. So, though it may be considered a spiritual crisis, feeling disenchanted with the way that we are told the God-man relationship works, it's often a sign of personal spiritual growth. In their defense, most organizations don't know how to accommodate folks who need more than a spectator spirituality, one based on getting involved in programs and busy work that are aimed at growing and promoting the organization instead of encouraging and promoting personal spiritual growth.
And I had this discussion with a guy the other day that I really liked. And I like to talk to him. I don't get many chances to talk to him, but I had a chance to visit. And that's what we talked about. We're not. The church is so involved in promoting this evangelistic thing. And that results in, that. The bottom line of that's building the organization. Mm-hmm. It does programs and things like maybe discipleship and all. But it's all geared toward one thing. It's geared toward getting you in the system, getting you involved in doing. And then when you look at the bottom line, you step back and look at it. And all of this is for numbers and building memberships and building. And you start looking at that and you start thinking, now, wait a minute. How is this developing me personally, spiritually?
Yes. I heard someone compare organized modern church to a multi-level marketing company.
It is kind of. If you think
because
about it,
you have these people who are in the highest echelon of the church.
Yeah.
That, I mean, guys, let's be frank. They usually make really large amounts of money when you're talking mega church sort of standards.
Yeah.
But these people have a few people who come in who invite more people who invite more people, and money keeps rolling in because you need to pay that tithe.
When the chips are down, decisions get made at the corporate level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's right.
When it comes down to it, the corporate level, okay. Many people get sucked into a vortex of who's right and who's wrong, or good and bad. I think that's called dualism. Don't expect people who are all in when it comes to the organization to be supportive of you when you try to explain what you're feeling and going through. Remember, if the only tool a person has in the toolbox is a hammer, every job looks like a nail. If you express your disenchantment, you have become the enemy. By questioning how and why the organization does certain things, or asking even legitimate questions on why we teach certain things, will likely be interpreted as criticism or even an attack. And not just criticism for the organization, but the people who teach and promote the organization and its beliefs may feel personally threatened and respond in less than understanding tones and phrases.
Yeah, and I'll say there, if you can sort of hold back the frustration and everything that goes with it, you come to a point where you have deep compassion for these people that sort of attack you.
But early on, like the main, that main thoughts, just don't get sucked into that vortex of right and wrong, or I'm better, or I'm closer, or any of that.
And without going into detail, we know how hard that is in this day and age we live in.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we may feel compelled to correct the errors of the organization that we are affiliated with, only to find that those who challenge tradition, they're not welcome for very long.
Yeah, didn't we do it? We did one on tradition, didn't we? It'd be a good one to listen to when you think about, when you're thinking
about this. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that if you could only explain your new enlightened position to them, that they would embrace it. They are no more likely to listen to what you have discovered and awakened to than you or I would have been a decade or so ago.
And that is so true.
And I have been guilty of that because it's not out of a I'm right, you're wrong. It's out of a let me free you. I want you to feel this, but you can't force someone into it.
You can't force spiritual awakening on people.
But sometimes I wish I could. So a real spiritual awakening, almost without exception, eventually results in an exit from organized religion. It may be a result of the awakened person feeling shunned, or sometimes a person's spiritual pursuits cause them to outgrow any meaningful benefit of the confining teaching of the organization. The truth is that some folks just grow tired of the petty internal squabbling and conflicts that seem to overshadow any significant spiritual benefits they are receiving.
I mean, I know, and I can't say his name, but you and I know a guy that he goes to church, and we know where he goes, and he's been going regularly for, you know, and he says, I don't have a clue what they're ever talking about. He said, but I just feel, he's never been in church, never really been, and he says, I just feel it's the right thing to do, because that's all he knows to do. I mean, what do we do in our society? If you want to be spiritual,
you go to church.
You go to the church. And he'll tell me, he says, I don't have any idea what they're talking about most of the time. Okay, due to the familiarities, the emotional attachments, and get my sheet up here, traditions that we have developed over time, it may take us years to actually act on our desire for a more meaningful spiritual relationship. Sometimes we find it easier to just go through the motions and stay right where we are. Admittedly, the idea of setting aside a lifetime of traditions and the comfort associated with those traditions is a scary endeavor, especially when you're basically going from an environment of having the approval and support of a group to that possibility of you're going this alone.
Yes.
And, you know, that was a hard one for me because deep inside I am a people pleaser. I have been my entire life. And it took me a long time to move past those judging eyes of, I know people are looking at me and going, well, why isn't she getting up and going to church on Sundays? Yeah. You know, it's a hard. Something else to consider, you know, burnout may be a symptom of our knowing that we're lacking in our spirituality and continuing to go through the motions of organized religion. And this is especially true of those who occupy leadership positions in the church. Many a spiritual awakening has occurred for people in the ministry during a period of taking a break from it due to burnout. Or it may be that the questions one has that are associated with a spiritual awakening has caused us to question our belief system and not be as sure of the things we are promoting. And guys, burnout is real.
Yes.
And Dad can probably attest to this better, but I have some good friends that are in the ministry and I love them very much. But it's like, I can see they're going to hit this wall because they're spread so thin, and you want to help, but you know, there's nothing you can do.
So with that, guys, let's break for just a minute, and if y'all let us, we'll regroup and we'll return with part three.
And welcome to part three. Okay, let's say I've been listening to this discussion on spiritual awakening and think that what's being talked about kind of describes my situation. So what can I do?
First of all, relax. You're not alone in this. You're not the first person. I mean, honestly, you can feel so alone in it, but you're not.
Yeah. But, you know, most importantly... And
you're not going crazy.
No.
And the devil's not tearing your life upside down and turning... It's the devil. You've let the devil get in your life and he's turning your life upside down.
Well, first of all, there are no hard and fast rules on how a person should pursue and grow in their own spirituality. No. And for a rule follower, that was hard for me. Yeah. Every journey for each person is different. While one person may pursue their spiritual awakening while actively participating in organized religion... Another may not be able to align and balance the two and finds it necessary to exit the organization. Each person will find their path using different methods.
Yeah, try, if something sounds interesting to you, try it. You'll know if it feels right to you or if it doesn't. You can experiment.
And we're just going to make a few suggestions here you might do.
And we shouldn't be afraid of asking questions.
No, I say pursue the questions.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us in the modern Christian religion have been conditioned to simply avoid certain questions pertaining to God and our life and our faith. Sometimes those who consider themselves defenders of the faith feel it's their duty to use whatever tactics necessary, even more or less shaming people who ask hard questions that seem to challenge tradition and dogma.
Well, no doubt there are a lot of forces in play. And especially when we decide it's time to act on our spiritual awakening. As we've talked about, there are the years, sometimes decades of conditioning we have experienced from the organized Christian community. This is a huge obstacle that takes a lot of sorting out, sometimes rethinking almost every detail of what you thought you knew. Some folks fear this process because they get all tangled up in who's right and who's wrong. We're back to that again. We found it to be helpful to avoid the whole right and wrong issue by approaching it from a then and now perspective. In other words, the way you thought about things a year ago or 5 years ago is still a part of who you are right now. It isn't about being wrong then and right now. Consider the idea that your faith is evolving, and the way you see things right now may evolve into a new perspective in the future.
So we've discovered that as we evolve to higher levels of spirituality, as we reflect on the parts of our journey that took us through to traditional religion, may seem sort of foreign to us, but it's still a very important component of who we are now. After all, for those who are in the Christian community that are experiencing a spiritual awakening, they would not have any foundation to build on and evolve from. And this may also help us relate to others who are still in the traditional religion part of their journey. We might think of it in this way. If we were to journey from Oklahoma to Tennessee, the best route will likely take us through the state of Arkansas. When we arrive in Tennessee, we can't pretend that the state of Arkansas doesn't exist or that it wasn't an important contributor to us being in Tennessee. We certainly have no business putting down the folks who find it necessary to linger in Arkansas for an extended period of time, or even those who see no need to leave Oklahoma in the first place.
And on the same note, avoid the pitfall of feeling the need to prove the rightness of your journey by pointing out all that you think is wrong with church and religion. And that's a very negative place that releases all kinds of negative energy into your life that becomes a distraction to the real goal, which should be personal spiritual growth. So in short, using our Oklahoma to Tennessee scenario, don't rag on the folks back in Oklahoma because they didn't accompany you to Tennessee. Because it's likely that you'll be leaving Tennessee behind at some point.
That's right.
Very good. It's natural for us to want to discuss our journey with others, especially those who are close to us. And we've discovered that there are at least three kinds of people you're going to encounter. The first kind are those who don't want to talk to you on this level or indicate that they think you're going off the deep end or that you're among those who are falling away in some end time prophetic fulfillment. Again, there's nothing to be accomplished by trying to get them to understand your journey. They're not there, and they may never be. And this is of no consequence to you or your journey. They may even say things like, "You really need to talk to my pastor," or "I wish you would join our study group," or "I'll pray for you." Just allow them to be where they are on the journey, and don't start categorizing them or judging them as not being as enlightened as you are. We can still learn much about ourselves from all of these folks.
Yeah. You know, the second type of person you may encounter is those who seriously consider your new ideas associated with your spiritual awakening, and they may even discuss it with you openly one-on-one, but they're just not at a place that they're ready to take that next step. Don't fall back into your old evangelism type programming that makes you think you have to convert everyone you encounter to your way of thinking. As excited as we may be in our new place of enlightened spirituality, keep in mind that we haven't arrived at our destination. It is a journey, and our spiritual perception is continually evolving. Enjoy those folks who will privately discuss your beliefs and ideas, but don't feel like you need to advance them in their journey. These folks are an asset to our journey, and we can learn from them.
It was Eckhart Tolle had a quote that was, "I always know a theologian from a spiritual person because a theologian will always argue and a spiritual person will always agree."
That's true. That's very true.
So the third type of person we may encounter is a person who's at another place in their journey that seems as foreign to us as we sound to the folks who are developing their faith in organized religion. They may use terms and phrases and theories that are beyond our ability to grasp, and we can learn from these people, but we don't need to feel obligated to take that same path that they are on. We should consider that our years of conditioning in the organized setting may have resulted in us subconsciously thinking that the more people that we think share our personal spiritual perspective is indicative of how right we are in our pursuit. Again, one of the most difficult parts of the spiritual awakening is conquering that deeply ingrained need to be right. That misguided desire is, of course, rooted in ego. It's not spirituality.
That's absolutely right. Well, one person that I often have the privilege of discussing various theories and thoughts of my journey with will sometimes respond by saying, "I know what you're saying, and it sounds plausible, but give me some time to think about it. I'm just not there yet."
So it is of our opinion that each of us have an internal compass that sort of helps us navigate life, and especially our spiritual life. Unfortunately, modern organized religion has conditioned us to think that we cannot trust that compass.
I think that's one of the worst things, too, mm-hmm. is that we're just beat down and told we can't trust ourselves. Yeah. We need to be told.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That we must keep our compass calibrated with their compass, or else we're drifting and lost. Those who really love us want us to discover and follow our own path. These spiritual mentors are not about promoting their brand of spirituality and creating a visible following of people. Our little podcast is an example. We are aware that it will resonate with some while it won't with others. The people it is likely to resonate with are those who are at similar points in their path of spiritual awakening. Some may listen and find everything we say objectionable. Others may listen who are at a whole other plane in their pursuit and consider our discussions very primitive on the spiritual evolution scale.
Yeah.
We're not competing with anyone else. We should use our spiritual awakening as our own unique experience that will develop at the pace that is just right for our individual needs and pursuits.
So until next time, as always, may God's grace, peace, and love be in, on, and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible. Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.